and I'm going to show you in the Word of God over the next few Sundays why we do what we do, how we do what we do, and why you should be involved in it. I know many of you are worshipers, but my heart is that as a church, you know, we're a worshiping church. Listen, I want this to be a church of miracles. I want this to be a church of salvations. I want us to have a church where God's moving on our teenagers and God's moving on our children, and that's happening right here in our midst. So we're going to jump in this morning, and I've got some amazing things I want to show you. Now, I want to start with Acts chapter 2. That's where we were last week. That's where I believe we may have ended up. And I want to read you Acts chapter 2, and I want to show you something. Listen to what it says. It says, and they continued, talking about believers, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's what's happening right now. Now, I'm not an apostle, but I am a pastor, and we're hearing God's word. We're reading God's word. We're studying God's word, and that's doctrine, and that's happening right now. They continued in doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking bread, and in prayer. Now, what did we find out last week? We found out that that is kingdom business. Hey, Pastor, how come we have coffee and donuts, and how come we have a coffee bar? Because it's kingdom business. Seriously, it's kingdom business. That's why we do it. You show up here, you get a cup of coffee, you get a donut, your children get a donut, and then what do? You stand around, you visit, you talk, you visit with different people. That is kingdom business. That's exactly what the early church was doing. You know I'm doing something right when your kids get up and you say, we're not going to church, and they start crying. Okay. Yeah, because we're not going to get a donut. I know. I know we're doing something right when we do that. Or worse is when you get here late and they don't get a donut and they start crying. Amen. Because we're out of donuts. All right. Listen, that's kingdom business. The Word of God, studying the Word of God, fellowship, breaking bread, and then prayer. Now, let me tell you this. Every time we come into the house of God, now I know doctrinally we're the house of God. Okay, God moved out of the temple and he moved into our hearts through Jesus Christ. But this is also God's house. Now we know God doesn't live here. Okay, God comes with us. And the Bible says where two or three are gathered, he's there. And so God comes with us and we're here with him and with his spirit and his presence. And then when we leave and we lock the door, well, he leaves with us and he goes with us. All right. But when we gather in this place, we're doing kingdom business. But you can also do kingdom business in your home. Okay, listen, when you gather around your table with your children and you break bread and you fellowship, and I talk about it all the time, please talk about God. Please talk about the goodness of God. It doesn't hurt to have prayer. And lots of times people pray over the meal before they eat. You can have kingdom business in your vehicle. Okay, you can have kingdom business in your vehicle. I mean, I could point to any one of you and say, hey, why don't you meet me down here at Sonic and we'll get a corn dog together. That's kingdom business. All right. It happens in your home. It happens in your car. It can happen at your job. When we get together, we're doing the kingdom business, the Father's business. Now, what's the next thing? Well, the next thing is worship. And I'm going to show you why we worship, how we worship. Here's the primary thing. When we show up, lots of good things happen. Lots of good things. But the primary reason we're here is to worship God. You take an hour out of your schedule, give or take, and you show up in church. And when you do, you are showing up to give praise, to give honor, to give glory to God. Here, and we've talked about this, and we're going to talk about it for a couple of weeks at least. Okay, God, I'm going to suspend my schedule. God, I don't have anything on Sunday morning more important than taking my family and being in your house, and I'm here to worship you. Now, the next question is why, and that's where we're going to go. We're going to go to Revelation 4:11 and listen to what it says. Pastor, why are you asking me to worship God? Listen to what it says. This is about God. You are worthy, O Lord. Okay, stop right there. Okay, why am I asking you to worship God? Because he's worthy. He's worthy. Listen to what it says. It says, you are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Do you know what? You exist by the will of God. You are who you are by the will of God. God created you by His will. You exist by His will. Listen to me. You're not an accident. Now, I know there's biology involved. I understand that. Okay, it takes a man and a woman to have a child, but it happens by God's will, and you're here, and you exist, and you were created by God, and He is worthy of your praise. Now, you have an eternal spirit, okay? You are going to exist forever, and because of that, God is worthy of your praise. Listen to it. You're worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, to receive honor, and to receive power. Now, Christianity is not a cafeteria. Now, when I was a kid growing up, I grew up in a very conservative family. My dad was the breadwinner. My mom stayed home, and they were very conservative. And when we were if we went to eat out, it was a treat. Okay, we didn't eat out very often. Now, my mom was a great cook. I mean, everything she did was great, and my parents weren't big on eating out. But on Sunday, if we went to church, after church, we got to go to Furs Cafeteria. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, if we did go out to eat with my parents, no, the waitress never handed me a menu. Okay, I didn't get to look at a menu and order what I wanted. My dad ordered for me. He knew what I wanted. Okay, and I'm not saying that like he knew. I'm saying he didn't let me have the menu. I didn't get to order anything I wanted, right? And then if we did eat out, we never got dessert. Never. That you just didn't do that. But on Sunday, when we went to church, we would go over to Wolfland Village in Amarillo, and we would go to Furs Cafeteria. And I can remember getting in that line and getting that tray. And that was the one time I got to pick out what I wanted to eat. Okay, and I'd get that tray and start down that line, and those men and women would be behind there, and man, I could get whatever meat I wanted. I could get whatever vegetables I wanted. And then when you got down to the end of that line, there was all that pie. Amen? And I could pick out whatever kind of pie I wanted. I did not have to eat anything I didn't want. I only picked out what I liked. Now, my mom wouldn't let me get three pieces of pie or anything like that. But I didn't have to pick something I didn't want. Listen, lots of Christians treat their Christianity just like that. Hey, God, I'll have some of this, but I don't want any of this. Hey, God, I like this idea. I like this teaching. Oh no, God, but I don't like this over here. Hey, God, I want to pick and choose what I want. And listen, Christianity is not a cafeteria, but it is a box lunch. Now, in just a couple of weeks, we're going to men's retreat. And at the end of our lunch service, which is we have a Friday service and we have a Saturday service, we provide a box lunch for the guys. And they grab their own tables and they grab it on their way out, and then they have an afternoon full of free time. And the box lunch is in this cool little cardboard box. You know, it's like a happy meal for men. Yeah, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. We just need to get some toys to put in it, man, right? Okay, and then you know, when you get your box lunch and you open it up, well, there's a sandwich in there, there's a bag of chips, and there's like a mustard packet, and there's a mayonnaise packet, and then there's a cookie. Okay, and every single box has the same thing in it. Now, I when I say mayonnaise, I mean Miracle Whip.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, who said yuck? Okay, get up and leave the service right now in the name of Jesus, right? Yeah, man, I don't know who eats mayonnaise, but mayonnaise is terrible. I grew up eating Miracle Whip, and when I get a sandwich, I don't want mayonnaise on it. I want Miracle Whip on it because it's sweet. And so, but my box lunch doesn't have any Miracle Whip in it. All it has is that dumb mayonnaise packet. Okay, and I don't like my sandwich with mustard. I want Miracle Whip on it. And then typically the chips they put in it are not my favorite chips. Right? You know what I mean? It's not the chips that I like. But you have to eat it because that's all there is. That's how the kingdom of God is. Listen, it's not our way. It's God's way. Okay? And God's way is the way of His word. God's way is the way of Scripture. See, God's not going to let us pick and choose what we want out of the Word of God or in our relationship with God. He's saying, it's my way, okay? As we're talking about praise and worship, I want to show you what God says. Let's go to Psalms 145, excuse me, starting with verse 1. It says, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Now, God just identified himself as a king. Jesus said, I'm King of Kings and I'm Lord of Lords. Now, in England, they have a new king. And before that, his mother was the queen. And I've never been to England, and I've certainly never been to the palace or any of that. But I know enough about it to know that if you were to go see the king, there's protocol of things you go through and do. And one of the things I know about it, and I don't know a lot about it, is you're not allowed to touch them. When the queen was alive and you met with her, you were not allowed to touch her. You didn't stick your hand out to shake her hand. Now, if she would put her hand out, that was okay. But you were not allowed to touch the queen. You're not allowed to touch the king. Now, that's just one thing. They had a whole thing of protocol of what you could and couldn't do. Jesus said, I'm a king. And the Bible says that when you come into his presence, you're supposed to enter his gates with thanksgiving. You're supposed to enter his courts with praise. Now, listen to me. God wants to be touched by you. God's not like the Queen of England. He's not like that. But the protocol is what? Listen, when you come into God's house, when you go to God in prayer, anywhere in your life, the way you come into God's presence is, God, I'm thankful. God, I love you. God, I praise you. I always start my prayers with, God, I thank you that you hear me. And the Bible says that he does. There's protocol. Listen to it. I will extol or exalt you, my God and my King. I will bless your name forever and ever. My mother, my father, and my brother are in heaven. They're there right now. They're there right now. And one of the things I know they're doing in heaven is they're worshiping God literally in his physical presence. My mother and father can see God. My mother and father have met Jesus, and they can see Jesus. When I come into the house of God or in my home and I worship God, I'm doing the same thing they're doing there, but I'm doing it here. One of the ways to be close to your loved ones who are not here anymore is to be a worshiper of God. We're going to worship God here, and we're going to worship God there. Listen to it one more time. It says, I will bless you. I will praise your name. When? Forever and ever. Okay, we're going to be worshipers of God here, but we're also going to be worshipers of God for how long? Forever. Now, we're going to do all kinds of amazing things in heaven. Heaven's not going to be an eternal church service, but we are going to have times we're going to worship and praise God. Let me keep reading. It says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. One of the things God desires from us is that we're praisers, that we're worshipers. And then it says one generation is going to tell about the mighty acts of God to the next generation. That's exactly what we do in Ground Zero. That's exactly what we do in Power Kids. There's a generation of adults in Ground Zero, a generation of adults in Power Kids, and you know what we do? We lift up the name of Jesus. We talk about the works of Christ. We talk about who God is, and we pass it on to the next generation. Listen, I've heard somebody say, oh, you know, this generation's going to be lost, and they're not going to know God. Well, that's ridiculous. Okay, our generation's not going to be lost. The kids we're around are not going to be lost. And I know there are many people throughout the world that are just like us. And like I said, and let me just say it again, when you gather around the table with your family, you should be talking about the things of God. You should be telling your children, hey, God's been good to us. Hey, you see this house, you see this car, you see the things that we have. It's all happened because of the goodness of God. And what does it say? It says, I'm supposed to praise him to the next generation. Amen? We're supposed to be a church of praisers, a people of worship. Let me read to you this morning in Psalms 150, starting with verse 1. You're going to love this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. That's where we are right now. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. What's the firmament? The firmament is the heavens. This morning, I was out early, and in the east, you could see the crescent moon, and you could see, I believe that might be Venus, that bright last star that was showing in the sky before sunrise. Okay, that's the firmament, okay? Our atmosphere around the earth is the first heaven. That's the firmament. Then the second heaven is outer space outside of our firmament, and that's where you see the stars and the planets and the galaxies. Then the third heaven is where God abides, where God lives, which is actually heaven itself. And listen to what it says right here. Hang on, I touched it and jacked it up. Vicky always, when Vicky shows me a picture, she says, don't touch it. I'm sorry, I touched it. All right, y'all ready? Okay, it says, praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Wow. I mean, I just, it doesn't get any clearer than that. Praise him for his acts. What am I talking about? Thanking God for what he does, not forgetting what he does. Okay, you know Ashley, my daughter, we prayed for 8 years. That she would have a baby. And she went through that journey for 8 years, and we walked along with her for 8 years. Now she has 3 children. Okay, and sometimes when they're bawling, when they're snotting, when they're pooping, when they're fighting, when they're tearing up, you forget to praise God for them. Amen? Amen. Yeah, you forget to praise God for them. But we want to, I want to remember, God, they're a gift from you, and you heard and you answered prayer, and you gave my daughter these children, and they're my grandchildren. What does it say right here? Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the, here we go. We kind of shift gears. Now listen to this. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. What's he talking about? Instruments. How come we have instruments in church? Because the Bible says so. It says so. Let me keep reading it. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments, guitars and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Man, do you ever think sometimes, man, Jason on the drums is kind of loud. Man, he plays those drums kind of loud. Listen to what it says. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How come we have musical instruments in church? Because God says to. Now, we don't have all of them. We don't have a harp, thank God. I mean, I don't have any harp harp albums, almost at heart, okay? And you may love a harp, all right? We don't have all the instruments, but we do have instruments. And you know what we use them for? We use them to praise God. That's why we have them. And it says to play them loud. Not, it's what it says. It says play on the cymbals loud. And so why do we have musical instruments? Well, we have them because God's word says to. And we're going to use them to do what? To worship God. Listen, my heart is that we're a worshiping church. We're a praising church. That when we come in this place, we lift our voices and we praise God. Let me go to another verse. I want to go to Psalms 22 and verse 3. You're going to love this verse. It says, but you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Another word for enthroned is inhabit. Now, this is an amazing, powerful truth. You know what it says? It says that God inhabits our praises. Can I tell you something? If you want to get God's attention, be a praiser. You want to get God's attention, be a worshiper. When we gather in this place and we lift our voices and we lift our hands and we begin to worship God, it says God enthrones himself. You know what enthroned means? It means to sit down. Imagine in your mind a beautiful, gorgeous throne up here. And as we begin to sing and we begin to glorify God, he comes and he sits on that throne and he enthrones himself in our midst as we worship him and as we praise him. He does the very same thing if you do it in your car. He does the very same thing if you do it in your home. He inhabits, he dwells, he enthrones himself. Listen, you want to get God on the scene? Put on some praise music. You want to get God on the scene? Put on some music and lift your voice and say, God, I love you and I praise you. If you're dealing with fear, if you're dealing with depression, just put on some good worship music and begin to tell God you love him. And he will inhabit that space. He will inhabit your vehicle. He'll inhabit your home. He'll inhabit our church. It says that it gets his attention. And when God's on the scene, you know what happens? The devil has to leave. Amen? Yeah, when you're feeling discouraged, when you're feeling down, and you think, man, it's not a good day, you put on some music, you lift your voice, and darkness leaves, and God shows up. And God inhabits. It also means to sit, to dwell, to remain. He doesn't leave. Listen, God doesn't show up to visit. He shows up to stay. Now, we're going to talk later on. We're not talking about it this morning, about how praise is a weapon. And I'm going to show you how to use that weapon. We've talked about it in the past. But the thing I want to leave you with this morning is worship's a decision. And you decide to glorify God because he's worthy. And when you do, he inhabits that praise and he moves in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all stand up. Let me pray for you. Praise God. Father God, I thank you this morning for your presence in our lives. Father, I thank you for praise and worship. Lord, we want to recognize this morning that we're created in your glory. We exist because of your will. And that, Father God, your hand is on our lives. Father God, as we talk these coming weeks about worship and about praise, God, myself, Lord, but I know all of us, we want to be worshipers. We want to be praisers. Lord, we want to talk to the next generation about your goodness. Father God, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, I love you. Y'all go and be blessed.